Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, coming to you right here on WHKW AM 1220, The Word in Independence, Cleveland, and joining us on 91.5 Freedom FM, WHKC in Columbus. Welcome our listeners in Columbus, and you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air live with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. Certainly glad to have you with us tonight. Hope you'll be able to stay with us until midnight, and let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you that we've been able to have this program and add our station in Columbus. We just pray, Father, that we'd be a blessing and encouragement to somebody and be able to point somebody towards Christ. And, Lord, that if there's somebody that's searching, that they might be able to find us and that we could be a help and be instrumental in them trusting Christ as their Savior, or perhaps helping somebody to find a good local church to help them grow as a Christian. Father, we just pray your blessing now on the program this evening. Use it for your glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're glad to have you on tonight, and just a number of things going on in the world as we talk about usually when we get started here, and the situation in the Middle East continues to ratchet up a bit. I just saw something not too awfully long ago where they were claiming that the U.S. and Israel might be looking at taking action against Iran, possibly as early as May. And that's certainly an area that we need to be concerned about as Bible-believing Christians, because we know that that is God's covenant land there. And it's a land that God has given to the Jewish people, and God has a purpose for that land. And he's got a purpose for the Jewish people being there. And we certainly need to pray for the peace of Israel, that land there and the people there. He describes in Zechariah 2:8 as the apple of his eye. And that certainly means that it's something that he values greatly. And we need to remember that God has a purpose for the nation of Israel. And in Zechariah chapter 12, and we were talking about this at church this morning, and for those of you new to our program, I pastor the Bible Baptist Church located in Richfield, Ohio. That's about midway between Akron and Cleveland here in Northeast Ohio, where we're at. And we were talking this morning about Jerusalem and the various UN's criticisms of it, the UN Security Council and General Assembly resolutions condemning Israel and the Jewish people and for their building settlements in East Jerusalem and things like that over the years through the 90s and in the last 10 years. And we were talking in Zechariah chapter 12 where God says to Zechariah, starting in verse 1, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him." And he says this in verse 2. He says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." And, you know, when you stop to think about Jerusalem and Israel, it's really not that big of a place. And it certainly has proven to be a cup of trembling to the people all around it. And the whole world certainly seems to be against Israel. And it certainly has become a burdensome stone for all people. And it's certainly, we've seen people dashed to pieces that have come up against Israel and Jerusalem. Talking about this because I was in a thrift store not too long ago, and I was thumbing through some of the books in the used book section, and I found a book where a guy was trying to say that America was actually the promised land, the New Jerusalem, and that's where the real Israel is, and that America, and I guess presumably us as Americans, represent the true Israel. And he had all kinds of things talking about why his viewpoint was correct, and no doubt many of you have heard that as well. But he seemed to forget one crucial thing. And that crucial thing is in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, where God says to Abram, he says, "Get thee out from thy country," Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, "and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Now, Abraham, to the best of my knowledge, didn't travel to North America. I don't think he ever made it here to Ohio, most certainly, but he did travel to a particular land that is located in the Middle East, and part of that land is the country of Israel today. Another large part of that land, in fact, bigger than the nation of Israel, is composed of the nation of Jordan. And in case you're not as familiar with the history of Jordan, Jordan is a part of the original land that was set aside for a Jewish state in the Balfour Declaration in the early 1900s. And what happened was pressure upon the British Foreign Office from Arab interests. They carved off two-thirds of the land set aside for a Jewish state in order to promote peace. They had a land for peace deal, and they carved off two-thirds of the area of Palestine, British Palestine, and they called it Palestine Transjordan. It was Transjordan, and shortened to Jordan, and it became the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. And this land, which is two-thirds of the land that was set aside by international agreement to be a Jewish state, encompasses lands that God gave to Abraham's descendants, specifically not through his firstborn Ishmael, but through his secondborn Isaac. And Isaac was the one that was the child of promise. And if you recall, God had promised Abram and Sarah that they would have a son. And that son, of course, was Isaac. But prior to that son being born, Abram and Sarah were kind of worried, and they began to doubt God, and they invoked a practice of the day where Sarah gave Sarah gave her handmaid Hagar over to Abram to be a second wife, and thereby he would have children, and that child that was born would be as if it was Sarah's child. And of course, Ishmael was born from Hagar and Abram, and of course, Abraham, same individual, and so Ishmael was born, and then some years later, we had God give Sarah a child, and that child was Isaac. And of course, that was the child that God had promised to Abraham. That was the child of promise. And you say, well, wait a minute. Wasn't Ishmael born first? And so shouldn't his descendants have the promise of that land and all the rights of the firstborn? Well, normally one would think that, and a lot of the Arab peoples are descended from Ishmael, or at least claim descent from him, and as a consequence, they would cite that. But a very interesting story took place, is recounted for us in Genesis chapter 21, when it's time for Sarah to wean Isaac, and they have a celebration for this, and she sees Ishmael mocking. And she says in verse number 10 to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman, that's Hagar, and her son, that's Ishmael, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now, I think the mocking that Ishmael was guilty of was probably something along the lines of saying, well, Isaac may be the one being celebrated today, but I'm the firstborn. I'm the one that gets the right of the firstborn. And that would have been the case, except there was another tradition, another law or custom that was practiced, partly based on the laws of Hammurabi and some others, Liptip Ishtar and some others, where the inheritance rights were dependent on the father's acceptance of the son as legitimate. And one of the ways that a firstborn or a child born to a bondwoman could be, in effect, disinherited is if he gave the bondwoman her freedom. And as a result of the freedom, her son would no longer be considered his rightful or legitimate heir. And so by asking Abraham to cast out Sarah, the bondwoman, she was in effect asking Abraham to set Hagar free, and in effect, as she said right there, to disinherit Ishmael. She said, this son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son there in verse 11, because of what it meant for Ishmael. And God said unto Abraham in verse 12, he said, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and also the son of the bondwoman, I will make a nation because he is thy seed. And so he sends Hagar away, and God blesses Ishmael and his descendants. And there's good reason to believe that Job, for instance, the book of Job, was a descendant of Ishmael. And as you look at this passage here, you can see that the right of the firstborn passed from Ishmael to Isaac. And so therefore, the land that God gave to Abraham, the land there that Israel and Jordan occupy today, as well as the disputed Palestinian territories and some other land that's encompassed in the area that God gave to Israel, that was the land that's being talked about, not North America, but there in the Middle East, the land there that God gave them, the covenant land. Well, of course, we know Isaac later had two sons. He had fraternal twins, and that was Jacob and Esau. And Esau, of course, was born first, and then Jacob was born. And since they were twins, since Esau was born first, he had the right of the firstborn. And again, I mean, the Arab peoples are descended from Esau, but the right of the firstborn passed from Esau to Isaac. And so how did that happen? Well, of course, we read in the scripture that Esau had gone out hunting. He came back. He was hungry, and he agreed with Isaac to exchange his birthright for a mess of pottage. So he agreed with that. And then, of course, Isaac was then tricked by Rebecca and Jacob into giving the blessing of the firstborn onto Jacob in place of Isaac, or in place of Esau as well. But the key there, Esau despised his birthright, and it was passed on to him. And, we see these things in Scripture, and you can see where, and that, of course, was in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 33, where Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And so, of course, the birthright, the right of the firstborn inheritance, went from Esau to Jacob. And then, of course, Jacob's 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's why the Jewish people have the right to that covenant land that God promised to Abraham and his descendants. That was a perpetual covenant, and God has brought them back into the land, and it's an amazing thing to see how that's working out. And we talk about that some more here tonight, but let me remind you, our phone lines are open, and you can call in 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And we need to realize that these things that we see in the Bible today, like I've been talking about, we see that that Jerusalem truly has become a stumbling stone, a burdensome stone. It's a burden to the nations around us, and or to the nations around it, and it's a fulfillment of Scripture. But yet, at the same time, it's still the land that God has given to them. Even the Arab peoples who refused to acknowledge that today, even in the past, had acknowledged that. And they, as late as the early 20th century, they acknowledged that the Jewish temple was on top of the Temple Mount. And of course, now since I think it was the 80s or somewhere around in there, Yasser Arafat began publicizing the thought that the Jewish temple never was there. And that certainly has been propagated as some standard wisdom, I guess, amongst some people today. But well, we've got a caller calling in, and we're going to go ahead and pick up John and Euclid, I believe. And John and Euclid, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, good evening, John.
Pastor Al, Lord bless you. So, Pastor, what I was going to ask you, with Esau, was it Esau? Okay, with Isaac, now the one that was cast out, that was Esau, right?
The one that was what?
Cast out, you know, the bondwoman's son.
Oh, that was Ishmael was the bondwoman's son.
Ishmael, okay.
Right, Abraham's son Ishmael by Hagar, the bondwoman.
Right, okay, I guess I was confusing it with, like, with Jacob and Esau.
Right, now that was Isaac's two sons.
Okay, right, so I mean, it's sort of continued into the next generation.
Right,
too.
Right. The promise initially in Genesis 12 was given to Abram, and of course God later changed his name to Abraham, and that promise was confirmed not with Ishmael, but it went on to Isaac, and then of course the promise that was confirmed with Isaac was then later reconfirmed with Jacob, and then of course Jacob's 12 sons, the basis of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right. Now, do you think this shows like predestination or election there, that God kind of, it seems like God chose them and not the, you know, not the bondwoman's son and not, Isaac's firstborn either?
Well, God certainly chose Abraham, and we know that. He chose him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he brought them, you know, to a place where he wanted him to be, and he promised him a son. And the problem is, Abram and Sarah did not fully follow God's commands and wait on the Lord, and they took matters into what they thought would solve the situation with, you know, with Hagar. And so Hagar and Abraham's son, Ishmael, that was contrary to God's will. He said that Sarah was going to have the child, not Hagar. So in that case, God had said, you know, here's the situation, and this is how it's going to work out. They did something contrary to what God said. But the part with election and thinking about that, talking about that, that people get into, they talk about Esau and Jacob.
Right, and Esau have I loved, or yeah.
Right, and when they're talking about
Esau
that,
hated.
Yeah, what they're talking about really are the descendants, as you go through that, and if we can find that passage where where they're talking about that. I'm slipping off the top of my head here right at the moment, but
well, it's in Obadiah, I think, for one place.
Okay, and there's also a reference in the New Testament. Let me turn
over.
Yeah,
to
Obadiah.
Romans. It should be Romans. I can't think of it either.
Well, that's one of the things when you're on the radio, you're trying to think about something that's on the tip of your tongue, and then the moment you go to try and find it, you're thumbing all
maybe
around.
I'm thinking it's Romans 10.
Yeah, we'll take a look here, and let's see. I was going to look up the Obadiah one. Why don't I stick with that one and go there first? And here in Obadiah, we have. All right, here we have in Obadiah, he's referring to Esau and Edom. That would be one and the same. And let's see, I don't know if we're going to see exactly the one that we want here in Esau or in Obadiah. The passage in Obadiah actually is a very interesting passage. This is a passage that tells us that the descendants of Esau, which is the nation of Edom, the Edomites, that they were going to be cut off. And it was going to be done by the Jewish people. In fact, in Obadiah, there's only one chapter there. And it says in verse number 10, verse number 9, "Thy mighty men, O Teman, that shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter." Then verse 10, "For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever." And Psalm 83, I believe it is, also goes into a great deal of detail about how the descendants of Jacob are going to inhabit the possessions of Esau. And so you combine those two. In fact, here in Obadiah, again, verse 18 says, "In the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the home of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. They shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it." So you can see right there where he's going to do that. The question, though, getting back to the deal with Esau, "Have I hated," and all that, that's actually over in Hosea, chapter 10. Here in Hosea chapter 10, and let's drop down here. Let's see, okay, Hosea chapter 10, and that might not be the same one yet as well. Okay, we'll find that one. That's another one here that's talking about Ephraim and Judah.
There's quite a bit there. You know, even like you said, I think it's Psalm 83.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about the Hagarenes, something, you know, along that line.
Yeah, they were people that settled what would probably be in and around the area of what would be northwest Saudi Arabia today, which makes some interesting thoughts about that. There we go. Let's take a look here in Romans chapter 9 and verse number 13. "As I have written," he says here, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." And he's talking about the nations there. He's talking about two nations. In fact, let's go back up a little further here in Romans chapter 9. And he says in verse number 10, "And not this only, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." And so he's talking about before Esau or Jacob were born, he's already decreed that the elder would serve the younger. In other words, that Jacob and his descendants would be the possessors of the promise, and that Esau would not be. And part of that was because God knew in his foreknowledge what the descendants of these two children would be like, what the people would be like. And so as a consequence, he made a judgment there. We're coming up, I think, on our bottom of the hour break here, and I don't know if we're going to get fully up to this.
But I mean, I'm glad you clarified that as far as God's foreknowledge, because it might seem to someone, if they just read that without a lot of, you know, study or, you know, some knowledge of it, it might seem to them like this, like the saying, well, God chose them that.
Yeah.
And he elected one to be saved and another to be lost.
Exactly. Malachi chapter 1 makes that very clear. Actually, Malachi chapter 1, last book in the Old Testament, makes that very clear, where he talks about that, and he makes that clear in there. Maybe we can revisit that a little bit after the break here. But I would encourage people to read Malachi chapter 1, starting with verse 1, the burden of the Lord, word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hath thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste. And so he's talking about the descendants, his heritage, his mountains, where are they, the people, descendants of Esau, spread. Well, I appreciate that call, John, and we're coming up on a break. And stay with us. We'll be back for the second half of our program.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and be with you until midnight tonight here on WHKW AM 1220 of the Word, broadcasting out of Independence, Cleveland, Ohio area, and also welcoming our new listeners on 91.5 Freedom FM WHKC in Columbus. and encourage you to give us a call at 888-677-9673. And I have to point out, in all fairness, the program this week, of course, is what is going to be broadcast actually a week from tonight in Columbus, but the phone lines are going to be live. And it may be a little confusing at times, but we're certainly looking forward to having people in Columbus and getting calls from the Columbus area. And so this will be our first program there. Of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. Certainly invite you to visit us there. We're located right midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Interstate 80 and Interstate 77 cross. And we're also brought to you tonight by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road, that's State Route 82, in the center of North Royalton. You can call Frank's Antiques in North Royalton at 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. If you're interested in any kind of old military memorabilia, old coins, jewelry, just about any kind of old curiosities, antiques of any kind, I would just encourage you to give Frank's Antiques in North Royalton a call or visit him right on the south side of south of Cleveland in North Royalton, Ohio. And of course, we'd certainly like to hear from you. 888-677-9673, toll free, 888-677-9673. And we'll get back to our callers here tonight. We have Joyce in Parma calling in this evening. And Joyce, are you there? Hello, do we have Joyce?
Hello.
Hi, Joyce. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, good to have you tonight.
I was thinking about Abraham and Sarah.
Uh-huh.
And the problem with that was that Abraham and Sarah was going by the flesh.
That's exactly right.
And God can't accept the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve when they sold the fig leaves on.
You're absolutely right. That's a very good point.
Yes, but because what we do in the flesh is not his way.
Mm-hmm.
And God has a perfect will, and we need to be in that will.
Exactly right. And let me add, you mentioned Adam and Eve there. Then in their descendants, the problem between Cain and Abel, recall, God had already established that a sacrifice had to be made.
That's right.
The blood of an innocent animal was shed to provide covering for Adam and Eve. And so Cain and Abel knew that, and people wonder. Yeah, people wonder why God didn't accept Cain's sacrifice. It seemed mm-hmm. perfectly legitimate, but what it was what seemed right in Cain's eyes. It wasn't what God asked.
Yeah, God has a way, and we always have a choice.
Exactly, you're exactly right.
And we have to make the right choice.
Exactly, and that's a problem today. You know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. And God doesn't want us to die and go out into a Christless eternity. He wants us to be in heaven. Mm-hmm. And there's only one way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me.
Right.
But nevertheless, they're doing just what you said today. People
right.
are saying, well, I've got my way.
Mm-hmm.
Seems right to me.
People always want to do their own way.
You're right, and we need God's way. We need to know what God has to say.
Right.
And if we're going to get to heaven, it's only through God's way.
That's right.
That's the only way.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that call, Joyce. Thank you very much. That was a very good point to add to us. And we've got another caller here. We've got Neil in Cuyahoga Falls calling in. And Neil, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hello, good evening.
Hi, good evening.
I'm calling to welcome your Mid-Ohio listeners on WHKC 91.5 FM to your program.
Well, thank you very much for that, and we're certainly looking forward to being on the air down there. And you know, if God opened the door for us to get on Freedom FM WHKC there in Columbus, and we're thankful for that. And I'll tell you what, if we can get some sponsorship down that way, maybe we'll be able to stick with it for a while. people who are new to the program, we've actually been on the air about 5.5 years doing this, and we're probably the smallest church in the country that's on the radio, let alone doing a actual call-in live talk program. And I'm sitting here in the studio with the microphone. I've got a laptop in front of me and a pile of books all around me. And my wife's sitting across the table every once in a while to throw something at me if I say something wrong. But that's our staff. And then, of course, we have our preeminent board operator in there who's going to leave us after this week, Derek, who's keeps us on the air. So we're looking forward to having a chance to be a blessing and to help and answer some questions for people in the Mid-Ohio area as well. And so thanks for welcoming them, Neil.
Now, I understand that you have sort of a time machine there that Columbus or Mid-Ohio people can call in live, and then they can listen in the next week to hear themselves.
That's what I was saying earlier, because we'll be the program that we're doing tonight is live, but it's going to be broadcast on the Columbus station a week from tonight in the same time, 11 o'clock p.m. until midnight. And so as a consequence, the phone lines will be live, 888-677-9673, toll-free even from the Columbus area. And what that'll do is if somebody is listening to the program live, they'll be able to comment about a program that was a week ago and be listening to it the following week, if that's not confusing enough. But we're looking forward to that. And the most important thing, and one thing we were talking about at church tonight was that if somebody calls in the Columbus area, they will be able, if they had a question and they want somebody to listen to it, they can invite them to listen the following week, and they can listen to the question as well. And so that might be good for our audience as well. But it might be pose a few confusing moments from time to time. But God gave us the opportunity, and perhaps even one day we'll be able to actually have the actual broadcast synced up live down there as it is up here. But in the meantime, of course, the phone numbers are certainly live, regardless of whether it's this week or next week's program that they're listening to. If I haven't confused everybody hopelessly by now, but. We're glad to have them, and thank you again, Neil. I appreciate that.
Now, Pastor, it seems to me that this is, in a sense, a practical refutation of Calvinism. It's a demonstration that foreknowledge is not the same as forecausage.
And that's a very good point, because in the Calvinistic thinking, they many times equate foreknowledge with forecausage. And as I've said on the program before, I have foreknowledge that the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning. And if foreknowledge equaled forecausage, meaning if I know it, see, the explanation is God could predict the future because he knows he's going to make it happen. And so I just predicted the future, and I can't sit here and say that's because I'm going to make it happen. That's not possible for me to make that happen. I just know that it's going to happen because of past experiences. I have confidence that it's going to happen again tomorrow morning. Now, I might not be here when it happens, but I have confidence that it will happen regardless of whether I'm here or not. So foreknowledge is definitely not forecausage.
Yeah, and the Mid-Ohio people who call in, they have foreknowledge of what's going to be on radio the next week.
In a sense, yes, by having called in, they'd be able to call up somebody and say, hey, listen next week because I'll be on. And, it just seems to just, I think we need Einstein to get out here and talk about special relativity here a little bit. Maybe that'll clear things up. Maybe we're traveling faster than light with the program. But it's got all kinds of possibilities, but certainly more opportunity to minister to more people and more opportunity to talk about the Bible. And that's why we're doing it. That's why we do this program, so that we can be a help. As I said earlier, we're probably the smallest church in the country that has a radio broadcast. And one of the reasons that we do this is that, it's hard enough getting people in our doors. So we can't get in, people in our doors. We get in there, in through their doors via radio, and have a great opportunity to minister to people through this medium. And you know, there's a lot of people out there wondering what the Bible says about this and what the Bible says about that. And when we first decided to do this program 5.5 years ago, one of the things we thought about was, you know, putting on a regular preaching, teaching type thing, a pre-recorded program that could just play, and that would have been fine. But in the past, my wife and I were missionaries. We did a lot of traveling late at night on the roads on deputation, and we planted a church in the Samoan Islands, which, praise the Lord, is still going. And it was Grace Baptist Church at the time. Now it's Vai Oleola, which means the Water River of Life Baptist Church, and it's still going strong. And I was thinking, what would keep me awake at 11 o'clock on a Sunday night? And unless I knew the guy that was doing the message or the teaching or was really interested in the topic, I wasn't sure that it'd keep myself awake. But I always liked live talk radio. I listen a lot to live talk radio, and I figured if I was traveling, going home after a late after a meeting somewhere on a Sunday night, and was looking through the radio bands trying to find something to help keep awake, a live program is something that would keep my interest more. And so we thought 11 o'clock at night, that's what we ought to do, a live call-in program. And said it's kind of like Bible Answer Man, except we don't have the staff that he has and all of the people preparing verses and possible answers and things like that, putting them up on his screen for him. And we don't have near the money. So we do what God has given us an opportunity to do, and we sure appreciate the prayers and support of God's people and the gifts and everything that we get periodically, and the support of people like Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. And we'll see where God leads us with the Columbus broadcast now. But appreciate that, Neil. And got another caller calling in. So if you've got anything else to add there, otherwise we'll go to our next caller. All right, well, we're going to go to our next caller there, and we've got Dave in Berea, and we can still get somebody else on if you want to call. 888-677-9673, that's toll-free anywhere in Ohio or even outside of Ohio. We have Dave in Berea up next, and Dave, are you there?
Hi, Pastor. Good evening.
Hi, good evening, Dave. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
I'm enjoying your program for quite a while.
Well, thank you,
sir. I got a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
On all the readings and everything over the years, and I was just wondering, did Jesus have a sense of humor?
I think that he did. I believe that God created humor, and the Bible talks about laughter being a good medicine, and we certainly know there are health benefits to laughter. And so I believe, yeah, that Jesus had a sense of humor. Probably not all of it is, recorded in the scriptures. And you're looking at Jesus specifically, but I was thinking we were just going through 1 Kings on Sunday night, and, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. And, here's Elijah, when he challenged the prophets of Baal with King Ahab there to a contest, and they couldn't seem to get Baal to answer, and he was saying, "Is your God asleep? Maybe you better shout a little louder." And it's kind of a humorous incident there. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head of something that I can think of in the life of Christ himself in the New Testament, and that would talk about that. Now, the Bible does talk about revelry and inordinate sort of getting carried away with stuff as being sinful, that's different than a sense of humor, because there's some people that that they just get carried away. They don't take anything seriously. They're always out partying and trying to indulge the flesh. And, sometimes people, for instance, under the influence of alcohol or drugs or whatever, get taken over with fits of laughing and things like that. That's more what's being talked about there. But as far as a sense of humor goes, like I said, I think Jesus had it. We might not have much of it recorded in the scriptures, but God created laughter. And I think God created humor as something that'll help enhance our enjoyment. I think we're going to have laughter and humor in heaven, and in the positive sense, not in the negative sense. You know, not making fun and mocking people and laughing at them and laughing at other people's expense, but laughing in the sense of enjoying things. There are a lot of things that we enjoy and we might laugh about and have a type of humor in heaven as well. But
the Lord seemed to be so serious and all through the New Testament, and I've been looking and I just can't seem to find where he might have had a reason to find some way to laugh about something, whether he was joking with all the disciples, would have been about the simplest things.
Well, and we don't have all the day-to-day interactions recorded in the scriptures, and the purpose of the New Testament, the accounts of Christ in the New Testament was to give us the sense of the seriousness of the gospel. Let me take a look here in Luke chapter 6. I'm just trying to thumb through here, and I found something here. Jesus is saying here in Luke chapter 6, "Blessed are ye that hunger, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep for now, for ye shall laugh." And that's talking about going from weeping to laughing in that sense. So we do see laughter presented in a positive statement of laughter there in Luke chapter 6, verse 21. But most of the laughter that we see in the New Testament is usually more a laughing to scorn, a laughing in a mocking sense.
Right. Right.
For instance, when Jesus, I'm thinking of the instant when the young girl was dead, excuse me, and he said, "She's not dead, but she sleeps," and they laughed at him.
Right.
Out of scorn. And that, I believe that was in Matthew chapter 9, there it is. He said, "Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn in verse number 24. And, that's a mocking type of laughter in contrast with those that weep now being turned to laughter in Luke chapter 6, which is a much more positive sense. But the laughter and the humor was not emphasized in the Bible, because certainly Jesus came to deal with the serious matter of sin. The time really for laughter is going to be when he comes again. When we're in the millennial kingdom. And then later on in the eternal state following the millennial kingdom, when we've entered into our rest, so to speak. But right now, we need to be sober, and the Bible says we ought to be redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So we are called to be sober-minded. We are called to be serious right now. But I think in the eternal state, we'll be able to enjoy laughter and humor in a very positive role, in a very, very positive sense at that time. But certainly the seriousness of sin and the need for salvation is the overwhelming thing we ought to be concerned with today. As believers, we can certainly enjoy things that God has given to us, and humor is one of those things. And we don't have to be stone-faced all the time, but it has to be at the proper time and the proper manner. So that we don't lose sight of our overall purpose for reaching the world with the gospel.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm going to continue to listen, and God bless you in your new endeavors there with the Columbus people.
Thank you.
Again, thank you, and God bless.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate the call tonight. God bless. And we've got another caller here at Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and that's Tom in North Royalton. And,
hi, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call this evening.
Good evening.
Yes, I just want to ask you on the doctrine of election.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree that those who are say that you're saying that God has chosen those who He will based on the foresight He had of their faith?
Well, I believe that God has chosen all to be saved, because the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But let me give you a good verse here in the Gospel of John. And we need to remember, God's outside of time. He's not stuck in time like
Correct.
We are. He's seeing past, present, and future all the time, simultaneously. He sees and experiences it all as a timeless being. But in, let's see here, John chapter 1, I believe, is where I want to go. And in John chapter 1, and I had somebody challenge me on this verse one time. It says in John chapter 1, and I'm going to purposely read the last half of a sentence here, which is in verse 13. The sentence starts in verse 12, but we're going to read verse 13. It says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And they said, well, doesn't this prove that it's God's choice who's going to be saved? Because it says not of the will of man, but of God. And if this verse stood alone, it might mean that, but the problem is they took it out of context, because notice the beginning of the sentence in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So it's God's will that all should be saved. God's not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so as a consequence, that's what God wants. Our one caller was talking about the perfect will of God and what that was. But unfortunately, it wasn't God's perfect will, for instance, for Adam and Eve to sin and disobey him, but he gave them free will. Now, when it comes to salvation, a lot of people think they can come up with their own way. They can make their own way of salvation. They can come up with their own plan. I can do enough good works, or I can be this, or I can do that, and I can make it to heaven. That's wrong. You cannot get there on your own. You cannot come up with a way and make yourself saved. You cannot will yourself saved, but there's only one way. And God has decreed that the only way people will get saved is if they receive him. And that's what it says. You can spend your whole life saying, I will go to heaven. I will be a good person. I will do this. I will do that. And I will go to heaven. But that your will isn't going to get you there. But God's will is that you do get saved on these conditions. You have to receive him. You have to believe that he came. You have to accept that. You have to receive him. And that's Jesus Christ, of course. And then, of course, when you do that, he says he'll give you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So when we receive him and we believe on his name, then God gives us the power to get saved. I can't save myself. Only God could save me. And same with everybody listening. You can't save yourself. Only God can save you. But the condition is you have to believe on his name and receive him, and he will give you that power to become a child of God there. And then you're going to be born not of blood nor of the will of the flesh, but of man. Well, we're out of time. And again, thank you all our new callers. Join us next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.